Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Hey, yes.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
The Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have highest homicide offending rate.
4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific. It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
On blogtalkradio.com.
All right, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. And welcome to the Ron Kelly Show for a Sunday. It's February 28th, the very last day of February, which has been the coldest month since 1934, at least in the Northeast anyway. Thank you, everybody, for joining me this morning in the Ron Kelly Show. Lamont Gates will be along in just a few minutes. The Ron Kelly Merchandise Store, speaking of the weather, the Ron Kelly Merchandise Store is wide open on the RonKellyShow.com, the official website of the Ron Kelly Show. You can scoot on over there, and there's plenty of summer wear, T-shirts, ladies wear. There's all kinds of stuff going on over there. And also the gym bag, the Ron Kelly Show gym bag. So if your New Year's resolution was to start working out and you're still at it, because a lot of people usually don't last a month or two, you can shoot over there and peruse the Ron Kelly Show merchandise store at the official website of the Ron Kelly Show. It's theronkellyshow.com. Of course, you know, we're on Facebook, the Ron Kelly Show, Twitter, Instagram, everywhere, everybody, you can check out the Ron Kelly Show. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. And we got a great show lined up for you. Of course, my commentary later on about, it's the last day of the month, and it's also the last day of Black History Month. And my commentary on some of the things that have been going on, the meetings and the testimonials and some of the things that have been going on, folks are kind of patting themselves on the back for, because they had a meeting. You know, my commentary about that will be coming on a little bit later on in the program. Also, the GOP extortion crew, headed up by House Lead Speaker John Boehner, here we're at it again. Here we go. I mean, they just never give up. And here we go. The GOP once again putting the American people in harm's way. See, because this is what happens. When they oppose the president and they start defunding this and shutting down the government, who does it affect? Who does it affect? It affects the American people. It affects the people who work for the United States of America, those government workers. Remember, they all got furloughed. I mean, who does that help? Who does that help? It doesn't help anybody. It just causes harm. That's all it does. You know, so here they are. Let's jump right into this program, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining me once again. Here we go. Back, the extortion crew, headed up by John Boehner, Mitch McConnell, et al., once again are holding the American people as hostages, trying to convince President Obama to withdraw his executive order on immigration. Now, you know, when immigration, I watched something last night where President Obama said immigration will be his first for his first priority as president. It didn't happen. 6 years later, the president, for whatever reason, still hasn't, in my estimation, still hasn't been aggressive enough with immigration reform. You know, in defense, in a rare defense of the Republicans, I don't think that the president was gully enough to press forward with immigration reform. Now, because I don't see any evidence of the GOP getting in the way as far as the president trying to do something about immigration reform, and it actually didn't happen until 6 years later. So here we go. The president finally does do something about immigration with an executive order, and the GOP is mad because they weren't involved in it. So once again, as I said earlier, the American people are caught in the middle. And this time we're talking about the Department of Homeland Security. Now, with all that's going on these days, with ISIS and, you know, with your homegrown folks, people from this country and some of our allies are going to Syria, Turkey, et cetera. You know, this is the one. This is the crucial time where we need to have the Department of Homeland Security at full force and ready to go. Now, the GOP complains about the border, for example. They're saying that the president leaves the borders unprotected. Now, what do you think is going to happen if the DHS is defunded? What do you think is going to happen? So they're playing footsie with the American people. They're playing chicken, but they're not on the highway. You know, we are. The American people, we are. DHS is very, very important, especially in New York. New York is the number one, New York City is the number one target for terrorists, number one target in the world, New York City, because they know that anything that happens in New York City will reverberate all around the world, such as the attacks at 9/11 at the World Trade Center 14 years ago. So, you know, so you're taking a chance, you're taking a gamble. I mean, you know, the GOP is rolling the dice here with this. They're rolling the dice, and we're gonna wind up paying. The American people are going to wind up paying. Now, you would think that the Republicans would, you know, you would think they'd say, well, okay, you know, all right, this is too dangerous. Defunding DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, is too dangerous. It leaves us vulnerable to all kinds of terror-related plots. Even folks from here. Look, what happened in Oklahoma at the Murrow Building years ago, where the building was blasted. The front of the building was blasted away. 100 and some odd people had died in that blast. And it was somebody, it wasn't an Arab, it wasn't a Muslim. You know, this guy was an American. Timothy McVeigh was an American. So, you know, here we go, once again, the GOP trying to hold the president hostage, you know, trying to embarrass the president, and I'll move on to that in just a couple minutes, trying to embarrass the president by having Benjamin Netanyahu, who is the prime minister of Israel, having him come over and speak before a session of Congress. You know, and the president, this nonsense about the president, I mean, I could go on and on. This nonsense about the president, they were saying Rudy Giuliani, who is the biggest embarrassment to the GOP since, a lot of them are embarrassments, so I'd have to sit down and rate them all. 1 to 10 or 1 to 20 or maybe even 30. But here we go. You know, and they just, Rudy Giuliani, the biggest idiot that the GOP has ever had, I'll put him in there. The president doesn't love this country. You know, and the president doesn't love this country. This is what Mr. Giuliani says last week. Now he's been backpedaling, and it says that he's gotten a lot of support from some American people. Now, this is what they all say, because it can't be disputed. No. So this is one of the things that they do. When they do something wrong or say something stupid, you know, something controversial or something that's regrettable, I should say, what they say something that's regrettable, what they do is they back, hey, listen, I'm getting a lot of support. Yes, this is what they say when they do something stupid. They come along and say, "Oh, I'm getting a lot of support." And this is what Mr. Giuliani has been saying about his statement about President Obama not loving his country. Ladies and gentlemen, take a quick diversion right now. Let me welcome my co-host, the Unflappable One, like to call him, the host of Real Social Talk Radio, coming up at 2:30 this afternoon. He goes by the name of Lamont Gates. Good morning, Lamont. How are you?
Good morning, Ron. Doing excellent.
Right, great. Lamont's show will follow this show in about 3.5 hours. So you can check out Lamont Gates this morning. Real Social Talk, 2:30. right here on blogtalkradio.com/, however you want to do it, Real Social Talk Radio. We're right
on it,
Lamont. We're right on it. We support you. Thank you for still being here, despite the fact that you have your own show now. Thank you for continuing to upgrade the Ron Kelly Show. Really appreciate it.
It's all in the blood.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, you can't get, a blood transfusion couldn't take radio out of me. Well, Lamont, I started out by talking about the GOP, the extortion, the blackmail, whatever you want to call it, the extortion tactics of the GOP, Boehner, McConnell, Et al., who are once again trying to hold the president hostage. And, and what I've been saying, Lamont, is that guess who the hostages are, really? The hostages are the American people, because what happens if the DHS or the Department of Homeland Security gets defunded?
Is there anything new to this story, Ron? not at all. Listen, way back when President Obama was first elected in, he wanted to end the Bush tax cuts, right? The Republicans said, absolutely not. You keep those tax cuts in or we won't allow an extension for unemployment benefits. So they put the president, they tied his hands behind his back and held him hostage. And ultimately, as you just rightfully stated, it was the American people who were laid off and actually needed those extensions that were actually held hostage. The GOP is still up to its same tactics as they were since the president took office. And it's a shame that not enough people went to the polls for this congressional election that just passed to vote these guys right out of there. I really thought that these people would be overturned and removed out of their seats, but apparently the American people believe that only the presidential election is important. Not so, especially now that you see what these GOP members are still doing.
Absolutely, Lamont, you're right. They this has been going on for a long time. It went on with the Obamacare when the president after he was elected first proposed the Obamacare, and the GOP went hog wild complaining what this was going to happen, that was going to happen, the economy was going to be destroyed, the Dow Jones at 18,000 right now, and everything seems to be, it's not in the best shape, but it's certainly not the dire consequences that the Republicans predicted.
Not at all.
not even close. Yeah, this is scare tactics because, all of the numbers are up. They're not as up as we'd like for them to be, but they're up. But see, the thing about this, Lamont, is, the problem that I have with this is if you have a problem with something that the president is doing, then how about a counteroffer? How about a viable counteroffer, or what's your plan?
But that's the point. Republicans haven't had a plan since they took even before they took a majority of the Senate. They never had a plan. They had nothing to offer in replace of Obamacare, for example. Absolutely nothing. They've got no plan. Now they're talking about wanting. There's a group of Republicans that want to push Boehner out of his spot. I mean, it's just these guys are in a disarray, and I fear for whoever they're putting as their front runner for the presidential election, because I can't see anyone from the Republican Party actually running for president or even getting elected in the next 10 years or so.
Really? Absolutely. Because, and you remember, Lamont, when the president did his last State of the Union address, there's one response. The GOP, the Republicans, the kook fringe Republicans get together and they pick one person to give a response. But on this last State of the Union, there were five responses. Five. You had the person, the person that they picked, the congresswoman. I believe she's a congresswoman senator from Wisconsin, spoke, and then you had Rand Paul. You had Ted Cruz and a couple of other folks from the Republican Party who responded to the president's State of the Union address, which says to me, Lamont, that the party is in disarray. When you've got so many people, doing what it's in disarray because you got a lot of people who are doing what they want to do. They don't agree with the message that some of the other Republicans are putting out. So what they're doing is they're putting out their own message.
Yeah, precisely. And, you know, they're like chickens with their heads cut off running around trying to scramble to get something going for their party. But it, again, with the changing demographics, people realizing more and more that these GOP members are the reason for the government shutdown. They're the reason for as I spoke about earlier, when they tied President Obama's hands behind his back, the unemployment benefits not being extended, them not wanting the Americans to have affordable health care, it's all coming to view now. If it hasn't been, I'm surprised. It should have been coming to the view to the American people's eyes, to the point of them voting them right out of Congress, but it's all coming into view now. This is why it's going to be so detrimental for them to choose an actual Republican president front runner in the upcoming elections. It's just, I can't see another Republican getting into the office anytime soon.
Absolutely not. I think that, you know, and I've heard after the election last year, you know, I heard many of the political pundits saying that the Democrats, their message just wasn't strong enough, that the Republicans had a better plan than the Democrats did. And is there any validity to that in your estimation, that the Democrats just dropped the ball and the Republicans had a better strategy for getting elected or for taking over these houses?
Well, no, not at all. I think the reason why they got elected is what I stated earlier, that Democrats just didn't go to the polls. And we can prove that. There's evidence behind that. President Obama was voted in overwhelmingly twice, right? We see that. So then what happened during the congressional elections? If the American people wanted a Democrat in the office badly, to the point where they voted for him twice, there shouldn't have been any reason why the Republicans took the Senate. The only obvious reason is that those same Democrats never went to the polls to vote these guys out of there. The American people, for some reason, doesn't deem the congressional elections to be as important as presidential elections. They believe in their mind that the president, whoever we elect, is going to do the job, and he's got all the power. That's not true. He has to combat these people now. It has to be hand-to-hand combat on Capitol Hill between the president and obviously a Congress that wants to just contradict everything he does, to the point where it's not easy for the president, so he has to be forced to take things like executive actions. So the people just don't seem to realize that. I think there needs to be more education on how important the presidency is and how important congressional elections are.
You know, I think so too, Lamont. And you know, because I'm wondering, like, how could the president not have any coattails in regards to the congressional election that took place last year? Like, as you stated, he won overwhelmingly both times, in 2008 and 2012, just embarrassing for Romney Ryan, where, you know, Ann Romney was measuring drapes for the White House, she's measuring drapes for the White House. They were so sure that they would get in, and the president overwhelmingly chopped their heads off, especially with the college vote, the college, I forget the term.
The electoral college,
yeah, just wiped the floor with him. And it's surprising that the president hasn't had some coattails in regards to that, because, you know, the president has always been popular. I mean, there may have been times, I mean, I think this is the first president who had a kind of like a split decision where people were down on him for his policies, but they liked him as a person. You
his
know,
character, yes.
Yeah, he always beat out everybody in the character category. But, you know, and everybody, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we'll talk to more gas. You know, they pick on poor Vice President Joe Biden about gas, and these people make, you know, they a lot of nerve. They make more gas than just about anybody. So we'll take a quick break, and what we'll do is we'll come back, and we'll talk about another gas by the Republican Party. It's Ron Kelly's show, everybody, and it's on Blog Talk Radio, featuring Lamont Gates, I should add, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
Now, back with more of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show. With Lamont Gates.
Absolutely. It's the Ron Kelly Show with Lamont Gates, who can be heard this afternoon at 2:30. It's called Real Social Talk Radio. And our very own Lamont Gates, hosts Real Social Talk Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com this afternoon at 2:30 p.m. Be there or be absolutely square.
Okay. Square, yes. It's a half an hour of fire.
A half an hour of flame throwing by the unflappable one, I like to call. By the unflappable one, I like to call him, in my case. I did listen to the program, and yes, flame on when you click on Real Social Talk Radio with Lamar Gates. Flame on. Definitely, you had to put your fireproof suit on before you turn on to Real Social Talk with Lamont Gates. Quite interesting, very educational, and something you guys want to listen to. Not the usual fare, so check him out. It's the Real Social Talk with Lamont Gates this afternoon, 2:30, right here on blogtalkradio.com. All right, everybody, thank you so much for joining Lamont and I this morning. And another Republican gaffe, Lamont. Another, you know, and it's something that this has been something that many folks have been saying for a long time, just regular folks. And this is something that many folks, white individuals, you know, they believe that there's more black folks on welfare than whites, which is totally untrue. But here we have a Republican lawmaker, who states that that African Americans are on welfare more than black folks. So, Lamont, you brought this to my attention by the segment produced by Lamont Gay. So, Lamont, take it away. What exactly is going on with this now?
Well, let me just make a slight correction there. It's not welfare; it's food stamps. The argument was that there are, well, by this particular Republican representative, was that there are more black food stamp recipients in his state. I'm assuming he's looking at his state only or his town only. I'm not sure what he was looking at. He wasn't looking at statistics. He wasn't looking at facts. He was making this inductive reasoning without, you know, actually going the further mile and receiving paperwork that actually shows the numbers. But he claimed that there was more blacks on food stamps than whites. In this particular Huffington Post article, it stated that 66% of food stamp recipients are actually white, and the rest, 10% to about 7%, were black and Hispanic. So if people like what you stated earlier, you talked about Mitt Romney, people wanted to make this statement, and they're generally aimed at the black community. Let's not sugarcoat anything. When Mitt Romney talked about everyone voting for the 47% voting for President Obama only because they wanted something, you know, he was aiming at the minorities. And this particular article basically shows us that none of that is true, all right? It appears that the percentage of people, especially if you're white and Republican and conservative, 9 out of 10, those people are actually on food stamps, Ron. That's the reality.
Yeah. You know, and you know, I just don't get it, Lamont. Why? Let's keep it real here. There's not enough black people in America to do anything. Intellectually,
no.
Anyway, there's not enough black people to get Obama elected. You know, black folks walking around thinking, let me switch gears for a second, and thinking that we got Obama. And no, we didn't. No, we didn't. White folks did that. I mean, did we help? Sure. I mean, did we count? Yes. But white folks got the president in office, not once, but twice.
Precisely.
Twice they got him in.
We're only 12.85%. Round that off, we're 13% of the population. You know, you got the majority of that is still, you have the white Americans. By 2050, they're saying that Asian and Hispanics will take over. But for now, you're right. It was younger whites who voted the president in overwhelmingly. But there are older whites out there that are conservative. They're Republican. They voted for Mitt Romney. They voted for John McCain. And according to these statistics, referring to recipients of food stamps, a number of those people would definitely a high percentage of those people would also definitely be recipients of food stamps as well, particularly people, if I had to take a guess, particularly whites in the South, particularly whites in the Midwest who are not wealthy, you know, but yet they still vote conservative and Republican and use the same arguments that Republicans try to use for those who vote for Obama, which is you're just milking the system, which is exactly what they're doing technically if you really want to look at the bigger picture of things.
Absolutely, Lamont. And the other point is that, you know, most people think of welfare recipients or food stamp recipients as people who are not working, you know.
Right.
And there's
right.
a large and there's the lion's share of folks who get food stamps do work, because you do have something called the working poor. And they are, mm-hmm. you know, they may not be making enough money, but they are so they're getting assistance based on what their income is. So you have millions of folks out there who work, but who are considered working poor, and they're getting the food stamps as well. So it's not just about black folks sitting on the stoop, you know, black folks sitting on the stoop all day not doing nothing. I mean, this is the prototypical idea for that many white people have about folks who receive welfare and food stamps, when that is not at all the case. There are many whites, and you talked about
yeah.
it down in the Mississippi Delta and West Virginia, some of the poorest areas in the world.
Absolutely.
They're like third world countries almost down in some of those areas. And plenty of them are collecting assistance, Lamont,
food
more
stamps,
so than blacks.
And what I don't even understand about these people is that they will still turn around, I guess it's their culture, and vote for a conservative who wants to take them off of those things, you know, even though they need them badly. You know, that's a study in itself. Why would you vote for somebody who's trying to strip you of that, but yet, you know, because of your conservative values, you're forced to vote for that person? What is it? I don't get it.
I think we kind of know, you know, I get what where you're going with this, and I totally get it, but we know why. You know, it's about the president. You know, it's about the president. When Clinton was the president, Clinton was a Democrat. When he was the president, it was no big deal. You know, I think the president, well, I think when Arkansas, he wasn't that popular. That's a state he came from. But, you know, this is about the president, because why would you want to cut off your lifeline, Lamont Gates? You know, why would you go against the person who's trying to help you and vote for the person who is against entitlements and giveaways and folks who think that maybe we should not give anybody anything? So it's about the president, you know, and then folks, they try to be PC and say, oh, well, no, it's not because he's black. But many of these many Republicans and GOPs, conservatives, et cetera, are against the president, Lamont Gates, solely because the man is black. And you can't, nobody can change my mind from that one.
Which is pretty silly on their part, because they're just defeating their own purpose.
Right. If the president is helping, you know, why would you be against him? And another thing, Lamont, too, there's other things that the Republicans and the kook fringe conservatives, you know, this is one of the things that they bring up when you talk about the employment gains, millions of jobs created during President Obama's first 6 years in office, millions of jobs. All the jobs that were lost during the Bush years have been regained under President Obama. The Dow is up 18 G's. And better, record heights, and you know, and things are going well. Manufacturing is up, housing did slump a little bit. New housing did slump a little bit. Existing housing sales are up. Consumer confidence is up. You know, the car manufacturers are doing well, not just in America but in other countries. So there's a lot of good that has happened. You know, notwithstanding some of the setbacks from Obamacare and some of the complaints that people have made, but things are not that bad. And I but what they do, the Republicans have a great way of discounting. You know, you can hit the lotto with the Republicans would say it was a bad thing. And what has happened is that they talk about the people who have left the workforce. And,
right,
how the hell does anybody just walk away from the workforce? I can't walk away. I walk away from the workforce. You might drive past to see me laying on a street corner. So how do you walk away? Because they say that the unemployment is down because people have left the workforce, and there's not that many people to count. So how the heck does anybody walk away from the workforce? Lamont Gates, host of Real Social Talk. How?
Well, what I read in the past was that obviously that is definitely a misconception, and they're purposely making it a misconception out there to the public regarding what Republicans are saying about the workforce and why the unemployment rate is lower. What it really means is that there are a number of people that have retired. They left the workforce by way of retiring. However, that only makes up about 15%. You have 85% of people. The argument was people not looking for work. That's what it was. You still have 85% of people still that were actively looking for work. They did not leave the workforce per se, as in I'm just not going to look for a job because the economy is so bad. No, 85% of them are still looking, whereas 15% of them left by way of retirement. So you see, they're not being genuine with their argument, in other words. As usual, they have to put forth a scare tactic, as we spoke about earlier, concerning any way that they can counter the president, even though it doesn't make any sense whatsoever, even though it's ingenuous. But they've got to come up with these lies and these scare tactics to make the people believe, well, see, he's a bad president, he did a bad job. But they're not being honest with that information all around.
Absolutely, and folks are falling for it, because I'm sitting there like dumbfounded, because I listen to I listen to more conservative radio than I do listen to any other type of radio. But in fact, I don't even listen to too much, liberal or any of those type of shows. I don't listen to those shows that often, but I do listen to conservative radio like Rush Limbaugh, Hannity, Savage, Levin. I can't stomach. He just flips my stomach over.
Yeah.
But I listen to a lot of these folks to know, because you need to know what the enemy is thinking. So I do listen to them, and just outrageous.
And these people are known for being ingenuous and using spin on their radio shows. That again, they're more entertainment and ratings based than actual fact based. And they know what they're doing. They know exactly how to stir that pot and chop that meat up and put it out there for the pit bulls. They know what they're doing, just as Fox News and its commentators knows what it's doing.
Yeah, and in the next segment, Lamont, in the Week in Review, we're going to talk about your favorite reverend. I'm sure that you would attend the church if he was preaching, the Reverend Al Sharpton in MSNBC. And in the next segment, we'll be talking about that. And Joy Reid and Ronan Farrow have already been chopped from the MSNBC block, and then the rumor has it that the Reverend Al Sharpton and Ed Schultz, the Ed Show, are next on the chopping block. And so is MSNBC, moving over to the Fox News zone? I mean, what's going on? Is there no more money in liberalism? Has liberalism taken a hit? Have the Democrats taken a hit? In society, have they taken a hit? Are they not? Are people more conservative in this country than they are liberals or progressives? We're going to talk about that in the next segment right here on the Ron Kelly Show, featuring Lamont Gates. But so Lamont, they. I just kind of shake my head like, where do they find these people? Because you can't say that how can you say with a straight that people have left the workforce? I mean, just have left. So they've left the workforce. Right. They have left so they don't get counted anymore, Lamont.
And think about it. If they left the workforce, it's not the president's fault. It's their own fault for leaving their job.
And, there's millions of jobs. There's millions of jobs, hundreds of thousands, not millions and millions of jobs, but there's hundreds of thousands of high-tech jobs, Lamont, that are not being filled. And you hear about it all the time. high jobs, IT, et cetera, jobs that are sitting out there that pay lots of money, 100K or better, these jobs, but there's no one to fill them. Because look what's happening in the technical world now. There's all types of stuff going on, and these companies are doing quite well. Apple and Compaq and all the Dell and all these companies are doing very well. Lamont, Google, but there's nobody to fill these jobs. So,
from what I understand is they don't have the skilled people. They don't have enough people, believe it or not, graduating from college that have these particular degrees to go into these fields, which shows how important college really still is in 2015. I know there was a lot of people not too persuaded to enter college about 10 years ago or so because they saw the way the economy was crumbling, and they said to themselves, well, why am I going to take on a debt, in a university and have to pay all these loans back when the jobs are not there? But as you rightfully stated, the jobs are picking up, and there are people who need to fill positions, but they still need these people also to be qualified. So that's why it goes back to what the president stated about free two-year colleges, just May being something that's definitely necessary for the society.
Yeah, because you see, because people get mad because they see, they see Asians and they see, Indians, people of Indian descent, Indians and Asians, taking these jobs because these are the folks who go to these colleges and who make it happen and do what they need to do, and then they take these jobs, and then folks who are on the bottom of the barrel are angry with Asians and folks from India, et cetera, et cetera. You've heard of Lamont yourself. Lamont is a college graduate, by the way, working on his master's, doing the right thing. And there are not a lot of college African Americans who are in college, Lamont, but I think that some of the majors that they choose, they're not choosing the right majors, and Right, you can't be an oceanographer in Arizona. I mean, it just doesn't work.
And there are Black Americans in college. However, college in general has an influx of females. There's a lot more Black females than Black males. So we're talking about Black men in general going to college. This doesn't seem to be as many of them as Black females, and females in general are in college, which is why I believe in the future I think women are going to be running this country. These positions can be, they will be there. They can be there. They just need the right skilled people with the correct credentials to come into these positions in order to fill them.
And I understand that we need to be telling our people about, and I'll talk about this in the next segment, Lamont. I understand we need to be telling our young people about how to act when they get pulled over by the police, but we should be pushing, if anything, we should be pushing our young people to higher education. We should be pushing that, and I think the president has a wonderful idea for having a community college free for 2 years, because many folks do, I don't remember if you did it yourself, Lamont, but there are many people who have gone to community college for 2 years, and they went on to a university and got their degrees. And I think that two-year bump, would a great help. It would cut down on the debt that most college graduates leave the university with when they get their degree. They get a big bill along with it, the money that they owe. So it's a great idea all around. But you know what, Lamont, the thing about it is that it would benefit minorities more than it would benefit anybody else. And that's the theory anyway, in itself is a problem, and it may be why the GOP is totally against it. I mean, if we can give billions of dollars to Israel and other places, these other countries that we pay to play with, that we pay to put bases in there, our so-called allies and folks who have a strategic importance to us, and we give billions of dollars to them, why can't we give it to our college students right here in America? We'll take a break, everybody. We'll be right back with more of the show. It's the Ron Kelly Show featuring the unflappable Lamont Gates, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, TheRonKellyShow.com.
Oh no, I'm in charge of our 10-year class reunion and don't know where to begin.
Don't let this happen to you. For your next event, wedding, anniversary, class reunion, or just need to promote your business, Burkett Promotions has you covered.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Over 200 custom-made products USA made, along with personalized imprints and logos.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Burkett Promotions does it all. Big or small, we can fit your budget.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Need your event to stand out with that personalized touch? Pens, pencils, t-shirts? Go to BurkettPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Mention the Ron Kelly Show and receive an additional 10% off an already great prize.
Thanks to Burkett Promotions, my event was a success.
BurkettPromotions.com. B-I-R-K-E-T-T Promotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
A business you can trust. A member of the Better Business Bureau, New Jersey. A-plus rating.
Now, back with more of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show.
Absolutely, it's with Lamont Gates, the Ron Kelly Show. Check out Lamont 2:30 this afternoon. Real Social Talk Radio. The flames are going to come out of your computer. It's it's Real
Social
Talk
power.
With Lamont Gates. Yeah, very, very interesting show. I heard it last week. Very interesting, everybody. You need to listen. You definitely need to listen. Half an hour. It's Real Social Talk with Lamont Gates this afternoon, 2:30 on blogtalkradio.com. All right, Lamont, now, oh, man, the week in review. What a week it's been. Say it ain't so, Rev. Lamont's favorite individual, Rev. Al Sharpton, is in danger.
It's about time.
Of Lamont and Rev. Al Sharpton have this love affair that goes way, way back. Back to the old days when we were doing radio shows together, Lamont and I. And the thing about it, Lamont, that they say that the Reverend Al Sharpton is struggling with the teleprompter. You know, and I kind of was embarrassed for the Rev. When I see that what happens with him when he sometimes stumbles and bumbles around in the studio, because most of the people who are on those shows talk so fast. It's unbelievable. Yeah. And then you have the Reverend Al Sharpton, who obviously has a problem. There's a problem there.
There is a difference. Reverend Al Sharpton is a public speaker, no doubt about it. He's been a speaker at churches. He's been a speaker on television. He's done public events. He's done radio. However, television is a lot faster. The people that you refer to as fast talkers and fast speakers, they've been doing that for years. They're used to that stuff. They went to school for that stuff, a lot of them. Communications. They studied on teleprompters in school. I remember doing it when I was in on the college level studying for my degree in communications. Reverend Al Sharpton is just he stepped into a whole other field when he decided to do television.
It wasn't as
easy as he thought it was going to be.
You know, it's not as easy, and I kind of cringe, Lamont, because I do watch Politics Nation, and I think it's a good show. The Reverend Al Sharpton's been on the show for 3 years now, and I guess you could say I'm a fan of the Reverend Al. I'm a fan. I respect what he's trying to do, and with the great Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, have had a talk show if they offered it to him. I just don't think so. But Martin Luther King only comes around once in a lifetime, once in a millennium, to go even further. But now, this whole thing, now it's not just Reverend Al Sharpton. Joy Reid speaks very well, too. Ronan Farrow, who is the son of the actress Mia Farrow, whose show has been cut already. Now, there was rumors going around already about Ronan Farrow Daily being canceled. But now Joy Reid, the Reid Report, has also been canceled. And the Ed Show, featuring radio host Ed Schultz, which is big, and the Reverend Al, Politics Nation, these two shows are being cut. So my question, Lamont, is is there no money in liberalism? I mean, Fox News is doing quite well, and some of the, you know, some of the Republican and conservative news outlets are doing well. So are the Democrats under the gun now, or has liberalism and being a Democrat lost its, you know, has it lost its mojo in this country, Lamont? Is, you know, because MSNBC is are they switching gears to move over to the right? What do you think?
No, I don't believe liberalism has lost its flame. I think MSNBC is simply having ratings problems. Let's face it, you got Fox News on one end, you got CNN on another end, and you got this liberal station in between, MSNBC, for some reason that's just not picking up the steam that it should be. I believe a lot of liberals actually are probably turning to CNN rather than MSNBC for whatever reason. Fox News has always done very well, and there's a reason for that. Now, there was a book written by a ex-Fox News worker, a young man, I forget his name. The name of the book, however, was called Something in a Foxhole. What was the name? Oh, Atheist in a Foxhole, that's what it was. And he described behind the scenes what goes on over at Fox News, and he basically said, from the day that you're interviewed, they're basically trying to reel you into this conservative mindset, even if you don't really believe in it. Yet you're just forced to grind that meat, as we spoke about earlier with guys like Rush Limbaugh. You're forced to grind that meat, throw it out there, make people angry, get them upset. Doesn't matter how ingenuous you are, just get those ratings, and Fox News has succeeded at doing that. So that's why Fox News is doing so well. They're not afraid to tell a little white lie here and there, or, you know, their lies are a little darker than white lies. But, you know, they're not afraid to reach to that level, whereas MSNBC, you know, as liberal as they are, they're probably not reaching that far across the spectrum to try to pull their audience in. So I believe it's just a ratings issue with this particular network, not with liberalism as a whole.
No, I think that Keith Olbermann was very, very popular on the MSNBC TV before he left. He was extremely popular over there. Million viewers, million people a night would watch his show. So he was doing very, very well. And I think, Lamont, that what when it comes around to like election time, for example, when President Obama was, you know, first came into office in 2008, you know, being Democrats and liberals and progressives, you know, that was that was a big thing back then. You know, I think that the election of President Obama awakened the sleeping giant, so to speak, with being a liberal and a Democrat and a progressive. And you know, as evidenced by the last election, the congressional election, you know, I think that says a little bit. I mean, yeah, we talked about who did a better job and et cetera, but that may be somewhat of an indicator of what is happening to being a Democrat and a liberal in this country, and MSNBC may be suffering the effects of that, but you know, because of the listenership, or rather the viewership, is going down. Now people might go to CNN because CNN is kind of in the middle. You know, CNN doesn't pledge allegiance to any particular political party, and that might be why people are sliding over to CNN rather than, you know, hearing Fox News dump on the president or MSNBC dump on the Republicans. I guess people just want to get out of the fight, Lamont. You know, they want to out of the fray. You know,
I'm not a big fan of MSNBC myself. I'd rather be in the center, so I'm a CNN guy. However, if I had to choose between MSNBC and Fox News, I would have to say that Fox News commentators are much more entertaining. Bill O'Reilly, I don't agree with everything he says, but the guy's show. It, again, he's grinding that red meat. You just love it, you know. MSNBC, yeah. I don't really know anyone over there who has something like that, you know. Ed Schultz, I used to listen to him on AM radio. So that was cut. The Reverend Al Sharpton, you can forget about it. I mean, you would expect the fire to come out of him, but he's too busy straining to read the teleprompter that knocked the fire right out of him.
Oh, my goodness. But the other, yeah, and you're, Keith Olbermann was the last firebrand.
That's correct.
He was the last one. He was the last one because he still, you know, has a mouth on him, and he still, you know, chops people off at the knees. He was on, last I saw, he was on Audience, I believe. He had a show over there on the Audience channel on DirecTV. And he's on ESPN, but he's talking about sports, you know, because Keith Olbermann is a sports guy. But he was the last person, he was the last controversial show host, you know, at MSNBC. And then after that, you just have a bunch of people who are really not seeing
much of anything.
A whole lot. Yeah, they're not seeing a whole lot. So, you know, it's kind of a.
I guess you can put entertainment value in there as well. And
right,
you see that
right.
MSNBC is just not as entertaining and politically charged as Fox News is, for example.
Not at all. You do want a little, I do want a little nastiness. I'm a fan of that. I do want a little controversy. I want some eyebrow-raising commentary, which is what I do here. So, you know, I'm a fan of that kind of stuff. I mean, you know,
a lot of people are.
Yeah, I'm
a
big fan of that.
And that's exactly the way Fox News has succeeded at it.
Oh, by you know, by leaps and bounds, Lamont Gates. They are the kings of controversy over there. O'Reilly and these other people who over there.
Hannity, right.
Right, and you stated earlier about, you know, you referred to the gentleman who wrote the book about working at Fox News. You see, Geraldo is not a Republican. I don't believe that at all. I think Geraldo sold himself. He's prostituting himself at Fox News because he's got a show. He's got a radio show on ABC, which was syndicated, but was I guess the show didn't do that well, and they just kept it as a New York City show, which ain't bad either, being the number one media market in the world. But you know, I think clearly that Geraldo, if you look at Geraldo back in the day, you know, you don't see any evidence of him being a Republican or a conservative. But I think he sold himself to Fox News because he's got the TV show, Geraldo, and he's also got the radio show on WABC.
Right.
Which has all conservative people on his show. But let me switch gears a little bit, Lamont. We got about 5 minutes left. You know, it's the last day of the last day of Black History Month today, you know, and some folks did take exception with me railing against Black History Month, and you know, I'm not necessarily railing against it. I mean, I'm not backpedaling either from what I said, but for us to have just 1 month to celebrate Black History is ludicrous, I believe, because Black History took place in January, February, March. It took place through the whole spectrum. And I just don't. And why does Black history have to be separated from American history? Black history is American history. So why is it separate? And why aren't Black folks featured in these stories where Black folks were actually some of the heroes in America, in some of the stories in America? Crispus Attucks and I can go on and on about the people who were involved, who were key players in the victories that this and the freedom that this country enjoys today, folks who back then weren't even considered a person, and they're not included, they're excluded, they're left out. Lamont Gates, left out of American history. Because I remember growing up and going to grammar school, and there was very little mention of Black folks until around February. You know,
right.
Now we're going to highlight what Black folks did, but what about the rest of the year?
Yeah. Well, I'm curious. What exactly were some of the railings that people were saying against your opinion on it?
Well, they were saying that I guess they thought that I was just against Black History Month completely. You know that because there are a lot of people who hold Black History Month dear. You know, you see some of the locally, you see the council chamber meetings, and and there was something going on in Garfield, New Jersey last night, and et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, so they think that I'm just against any type of – they think that I'm against any type of highlighting of Black history, which is not true. You know,
right.
I just think I'm just against it being highlighted in one month of the year, and I think that Blacks should be when you talk about the story of George Washington, and as you stated last week, I believe there were Black folks in that boat where he
yes.
had his foot on the stern
yep.
or the bow or whatever that was, and there were Black folks in that boat. Who were they? Why don't we
yeah.
know who those Black folks were?
These were soldiers, yeah, but you rarely hear about that. You know, the main focus of that portrait is George Washington standing tall. But, you know, there are many people, as I stated last week, that also feel the way you do. They also feel that, you know, why 1 month? You know, they believe it's a slap in the face to all the history that went on in this country concerning Black Americans in general. And for those railing against you, they got to understand, just as they feel this day should be on the calendar and the month is important to them, you also have the right to say that, you know, it's not important to you and that we should be spread out, you know, 365 days of the year. So you got your point to make. They got theirs. And it's always going to be like that.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, we should, when we have in these discussions, we should push our children, our grammar school kids to we should push them toward college and let them get some of these high paying jobs that are out there. You know, we've dropped the ball on that. We're not pushing education. We're more concerned about keeping them alive, which is a valid concern, but we need to start pushing our kids toward going to college. That's something that we need to start doing in these school systems where the city of Paterson, New Jersey, for example, received $400 million just for a year. You know, now you can't tell me part of that money can't go toward college prep courses and trying to get our kids into college. All right, we got about 50 seconds left, everybody. So for Lamont Gates, check him out this afternoon, blogtalkradio.com, 2:30. It's Lamont Gates. And
Real Social Talk.
Real Social Talk. Everybody, right. And until then, everybody, thank you. Take care, and we'll see you back here next week.